August 25th, 2016, it's the Watt from Pedro Show.
ship never sail that one might come of age. In a shipyard docked in the same spot, too perfect to move. Too perfect to move. When you come to question me, wear a burgundy tie. In my nightmares it looms larger than life. People don't have the power. People don't have the power. Chicago.
From Pedro Show and Pedro, but at my pad, I did get word from Brother Matt. His teaching schedule has been changed, so we'll be able to do some shows together again next week, though, because I got to go up north with the second man and do 4 gigs, get back Tuesday. Till then, we leave tomorrow morning, so now, though, I got via the magic of Skype from Chicago, Illinois, Snez Zavich.
Hi, Watt.
Hi, welcome aboard.
Well, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I should say we started off with John Coltrane from the Milton Bag. No, what is it called? Bags and Train. Yeah, Milt Jackson. Album, Three Little Words. Oh, Jackson, great vibe split. And Snez is in a band with Heather called Rent Party. We'll get to that. But we heard them doing, I guess, a song for your town, Chicago.
That's right.
Yeah, I was conceived in Chicago.
I know.
I was born in Virginia, but yeah.
Yeah.
So, Snez, can you tell me your earliest musical memory?
A lot of my memories, earliest memories, have to do with music. I was 5 years old when I started dancing ballet. I grew up with my dad, who had a lot of records, so we listened to records, his records all day, me and my brother Stanislav, who you also know.
Yeah.
And the radio was on, the TV was on, and...
But do you have a distinct memory, the earliest, you think?
Yeah, so actually I wrote about it in my book. So it's going to have some obscure references, so I hope you're ready.
It's okay. That's why I asked the question.
I mean, I grew up in Yugoslavia. We were born in... I was born in 74. And so Tito, right, who was the president then, he was still alive in 79. So it's easy for me to date this memory. So it must have been around 79. And so I was 5 years old, or maybe four or five, something like that. And my brother was probably 5 or 6 years old. And we were having a fight over what to listen to on the, either on the radio, or like we had an old tube radio with a record player on top. I don't know if you have had those in the States, but
yeah, you usually call it the stereo.
Yeah, but it was like really old. It was
these things. They had a turntable on the top, and they had a radio below it.
But this
people called them stereos. Also, in my time, you're talking about the 70s. I was a teenager. We also had 8-track players.
I know, yeah. But this was my grandmother's device from the 50s.
Okay.
Yeah, it was in the kitchen. So I remember that. It was in the kitchen. My dad's 60s turntable was in the living room. We all lived together with the grandmother. And so me and Stanislav were fighting about what to listen to. And he wanted to listen to this ostensibly rock and roll band, the contemporary rock and roll band from Yugoslavia. And I wanted to listen to some children's music. And so we were fighting about it, And so... I was trying to convince him that that's a horrible band that he's listening to. The song was horrible. Something about the song was about them playing loud rock and roll music, and they're pissing off their neighbors. I remember that. And so I was running out of arguments about why he should turn that off and play my record. And so
you're 5 years old.
Yeah, and my final argument was.
But you can still put up a good argument. That's happening.
Yes. Yeah, set me on the bed. So my final argument was, Tito doesn't like this band.
Oh, you mean the boss?
The boss, the big boss.
I mean, you know, I think I remember those last days of his, of funny sunglasses.
Sunglasses.
Lots of badges on his uniform.
That's right. Yeah, I love the...
So you told Stanislav, hey,
Marshall Tito does not
like this band, so we should not be listening to this.
Not listen to it. And, of course, he started laughing and embarrassed me. And that's an early memory that I always remember because how crazy it is that a child of 5 years old would bring up the president of the country, you know, to try to convince her brother.
Yeah. Well, everybody's got their own journey. That's your special way. Can you remember? Now you're doing ballet, so you're involved with music. Yeah, it's kind of like, you do it with it.
That's right.
Do you remember, what about getting records in those days? Yugoslav people could travel, so people brought records from out of the country. I know there was a label, right? Yugotone?
Yeah, there were several labels, and even though they were obviously state-owned or, you know, not private, there was a lot of import from abroad, but a lot of times it was kind of weird, you know?
Okay.
I mean, sometimes it was just regular albums that would come out in Britain or in the States. They would be imported back, but a lot of times they would release these weird compilations, right? So, and my dad liked to buy compilations. He didn't really like albums. He kind of grew up on 45s and never really got into the album thing.
The vinyl version of the mixtape.
That's right. Yeah, and so.
Was cassettes big in Yugoslavia?
They became big later on, yeah. But earliest, my earliest memories all have to do with vinyl.
Yeah, and compilations, huh?
Compilations, 45s, and some albums and some, you know. But this vinyl mixtape had a strange mix of songs. So it had, and I liked equally, you know, all kinds of songs. So there was a song called Crazy Horses by the Osmonds.
Yeah, of course, Crazy Horse.
Yeah, and I think it was fun because they were, like, kind of making the horse sounds, you know.
Well, they were trying to make a hard rock song, I think.
I think so, yeah. I had no context.
Because they were a big pop band. They were kind of a version of the Jackson 5 in a strange way.
That's right, because they were all related.
They're all brothers, and they all danced. I think the daddy put the band together.
Yeah. Well, that's the only song I know by them. And then there was the Velvet Underground was on that same...
On the same label. Same record. Yeah, that's straight.
Same record, yeah.
And do you remember the first record you yourself bought?
You know, it's hard to recall... because a lot of times it just kind of was a normal thing. We'd go as a family to the department store, and then they would be like, okay, pick the record. So I really don't remember those family outings. And the first record I remember buying in a record store by myself.
Yeah.
Was actually when I was in high school, and we went on a trip to Vienna. You know, like just
Austria.
Yeah, Vienna, Austria, yeah, from Croatia. And so I had some, you know, pocket...
Yeah, probably through Graz.
Probably so, yeah. I think we stopped in a couple of...
Maribor, you probably... You might have went through Slovenia, right? Maribor,
sure.
And then Graz.
Yeah. All the, we just... I was... So we lived all the way in the easternmost part of Croatia, so we just went west, kind of toward, across Croatia, Slovenia, and then into...
Oh, yeah, because the border there is Hungary, right?
Yeah, we're closer to Hungary, yeah.
Okay, so in Vienna, you went on the school trip, and what record did you get?
I got into jazz at that time, so I bought, I bought two records. And one was John Coltrane. It wasn't really one of the big albums, and unfortunately that record got lost in the war. So I don't remember exactly. It wasn't like Giant Steps or anything like that. It was probably another compilation, you know. it's a running theme. And also, and then like something completely different was a Stan Getz, you know, record. And
Stan Getz, West Coast.
Yeah, so it was kind of like more
slower, cool. Yeah. More gentle. But he's a very good player. They're both saxophone guys.
That's true. I think I was exploring the saxophone, and from then on, I like to write my books and poetry with
music playing.
With music playing, but especially bebop, jazz, that kind of stuff.
Okay, well, we're going to hear Wild Toledo Years. Rent Party. Can you tell me something about that, too?
Oh, sure. So I write a lot of fictional tunes, you know, like fictional characters.
Sure.
And so that's one. I think I was just kind of... I actually go to Cleveland a lot. I take a bus to Cleveland.
Yeah, where Stanislav lives.
Where Stanislav lives. And so, and Toledo is the only stop that the bus makes.
Oh, that's right.
And I got this phrase in my mind, Wild Toledo Years, you know. And then from there, I imagined this character who was kind of like a libertine type of a character in Toledo, Ohio.
Wow.
And then she decides to, it's time for something new, so she drives to Chicago and that's it.
Well, you know, Michigan and Ohio almost went to war over Toledo. There's some history there.
I did not know that.
Yeah, in fact, the feds gave Michigan part of Wisconsin, and they gave Toledo to Ohio. There was a whole weird thing. Anyway, let's listen to Wild Toledo Years. I got a good friend there named Dan McGuire who does poetry. He organizes those unknown instructor dealos. In fact, the fourth one's coming that's got George Hurley, Jay Maskus, and myself. with
Oh, really? In Toledo?
It's coming soon, yeah. The spiel's being put on right now. Okay. Let's listen to Wild Toledo Years from Rent Party.
Secret. We'll be right back.
for Pedro show, we heard Red Party doing Wild Toledo Years. And that was live.
That's right. We don't have any studio recordings.
Even Chicago? Because Chicago faded out.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it was live too.
I made it fade out in that free program with the Acidy. Yeah.
Okay. That's all right. Then we had Nervous Gender doing Green Tile Floors, Going to Buy a Gravestone Tota by Gigi Bear, Brother O from Psychic Temple, The Sunken Forest by Petra Hayden, I Call You Right, Miss Melvis, she's in Cleveland, she was on the show last week. I Call You Right's got Scott Krause on drums, Per Ubu, and I did the bass here in Pedro. I'm also on this next song, Yo Sonia de Marinaio with Ballad of Berlin, Teller Andrea, off this 7-inch EP we did for Record Store Day last year. I'm going to go off on tour with them, and I leave here September 19. We got a Europe tour. MikeWatt.com, you can get info. I get to do the second album with those guys. We did it here in the U.S. We played Shubas in your town.
Shubas is great, yeah.
Yeah, I really like playing there. But since 2/3 of the band is European, we should play it in Europe too.
Sure.
Then we had Stefano Pelia, the guitar man in the band, with his brand new solo record doing Blind Sun. And finally, Milmus from Lemon Kittens. I found my Lemon Kittens records from old days, and I've been loving playing that stuff. So, to continue on here, Yugoslavia, you got some records across the border. You like listening to bebop when you're writing stories or your poem. I know a little about your writing because your brother wrote me when he was still a teenager, and you're a couple years younger. Anyway, he told me about you writing this story having to do with a dream. It was not too much long after D. Boone passed away. Want to talk about that?
Sure, yeah. There was, I started writing short stories in high school, and a lot of them were just kind of, it was all over the place. You know, you're kind of teaching yourself how to write, and so I had the...
Autodidactic.
That's right, 100%. And now I teach kids how to write. So
you like a little institution.
Yeah, but...
In those days, you were reacting, okay.
That's right, yeah. Well, it was like a different time and place.
I can totally understand. My situation, too. You know, San Pedro High, I've never been to a reunion, but the 40th one comes up for me in a couple weeks, and I decided... It's after a gig in Long Beach, but I'm going to stop there for a few minutes.
You should.
Yeah, just to check it out.
Yeah.
But anyway, back to your...
But that story, I think it was based on a dream, but the story had to do with imagining D. Boone being, as I wrote in that story, being cloned back into life on another planet.
Yeah, an alien.
Yeah, like an alien planet. Yeah, and then the story is written from the point of view of an alien who doesn't really understand humans but loves their music, you know, and in particular loves, like, punk rock.
Yeah.
And in retrospect, I think, like, I was probably processing my own thoughts about humans and their music.
Yeah.
So I was that alien, probably. So I wrote that in Serbo-Croatian, obviously. And, and then Stanislav wrote you about that.
Yeah, he translated it for me.
That's right. So I think, like, I know there's a translation of that story on your website, but I'm honestly, it brings so many memories back, you know, both good and bad, that I never read it, and I assume that the language is kind of broken, right? It's like translated into
English. He did a pretty good job, I thought.
Okay, good.
Because you know my experience here in San Pedro, I've known Slav people since I came here because we have a lot of people from Vis.
Yeah.
Ishka, too, and, of course, a lot of Latin people. But, yeah, so kind of rare for, not totally rare, but it surprises some people when they know I know about the stuff because I grew up. So I thought he did a pretty good job.
Yeah.
I thought he did a really good job. And also, I always had an interest in what was going on over there because there was, you know, when you have people in your life that are connected, you know, it's much different than just images on a television.
No doubt.
So, what about gigs? Did you see any gigs as a kid? Do you remember your first gig you went to?
The first gig that my parents took me to, I fell asleep, so.
And what was that?
It was a local kind of pop band. I mean, local meaning from Yugoslavia, right?
Yeah.
And they played this basketball arena.
Yeah.
And kids loved that band, you know. And I think we had like a 45 by them. I think I liked them okay. And so I'm sure that we begged our parents to take us, you know.
And then you
but
go and come.
Once I got there, I got yeah. I conked
at two different Rush gigs. Uh-huh. And they were like 30 years apart.
Yeah. Oh, that's great.
I did not beg to go, though. I was kind of dragged along because they were my friends, you know. But anyway, okay, so you don't really remember that gig.
No, I don't remember. Obviously. That doesn't count. I just think it's kind of funny. And then the first thing that I remember going to on my own with a friend and where I was really captivated by the music was, and this is a singer-songwriter also from Yugoslavia. I was probably in 7th or 8th grade, and it was a daytime gig, too. And
okay.
It was in our neighborhood, and she was nationally renowned. I think actually by that time she had already made some fame for herself in Japan and a little bit in Russia, but definitely a big Yugoslav star. But it was still socialism, and some of those musicians, they would kind of tour these community centers, you know, and play for free.
Yeah, like youth centers.
Youth centers, that kind of stuff, yeah. And so that's where she played, and it was during the day. It was an afternoon gig. It was just her acoustic guitar. I don't even remember if there was...
What was her name?
Jadranka Stojaković.
Kostojaković.
Yes.
Wow.
And,
is she still around? She's still playing?
She passed away recently. She got ill and, you know, slowly stopped playing music and stopped recording. But until she got ill, she was playing a lot. She moved to Japan at some point.
Okay.
And she had some really interesting recordings back in the day. She was an interesting character. I later learned that in when she was a teenager, or like early 20s, she was touring in a jazz band with her uncle, who was like a jazz band leader. And they played. She said in interviews, they played a lot on U.S. Military bases in Western Europe.
Okay.
And then she moved back to Yugoslavia and started singing these kind of festival pop songs. I don't know how to explain that. We don't really have the equivalent of that in the U.S., but Europeans will know. these like kind of large festivals where songwriters write songs and these performers perform them and they compete sometimes and whatever. And so she kind of, but she ended up bringing some of that jazz. She could scat, you know, she could play guitar, harmonica, picked up a bunch of other string instruments mainly. So she brought some of that jazz stuff into that world, you know, and I know she was inspired by a lot of U.S. singer-songwriters like Bob Dylan, and she knew that repertoire, but also the local kind of folk music.
Yeah, which is their strong gypsy tradition, Roma people.
Right. Yeah. There are a lot of different traditions. I don't think she was drawing on that one so much, but rather these kind of sad ballads, you know, that are more, I think, Yeah, and they exist. These kind of sad ballads exist all over the Balkans and also the Middle East.
Yeah, they're called dirges. They're kind of sad, right?
Kind of dirges. Yeah, yeah, yeah. In the Balkans, they're called sevda.
Charlie Hayden ended up doing a lot of dirges from the Spanish Civil War.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Stas, we're at the end of the first hour of the August 25, 2016 edition of the Watt for Pedro Show. Special guest, you, Snez. Hold tight for hour two. August 25, 2016, it's the second hour of the Watt for Pedro Show.
Lemonade and coffee, and watch the leaves Again, in the dark, we drink lemonade.
Watt for Pedro show. We started off the second hour with Rent Party. It was a gig at the Empty Bottle in Chi-Town there, a tribute to Alex Chilton. And every day as we grow closer. Then Marshweed, brand new, When You're Young. That's Heather and Clay working on that. Dagger Moth out of Italy. Sonia De Marinaio gets to play Bologna with her. Shadow Boxing. Space out of Liverpool, brand new album. And the tune Foreign Cars. Hey there. I'm not going to get to see Brother Phil this time. Manchester, not too far away. Maybe he'll come. And then finally, Layman with Every Day and Postcards from Jeff. A tune called Awake that's got Chris Smith on the drums there. Incredible player. Back with Snez and her story of music journey. Okay, and being very profoundly impacted by this folk singer. What about in school? Did they have music program there in those days?
Not as a part of regular school, you know. Over there, the way it was organized, you know, you just went to school to do, you know, at least high school, right? It was, you just had your regular subjects. And
there was no school band?
We had music history. There was no school band, but...
Did you guys have marching? What about at the football? Oh, well, soccer games.
Well, what they had was separate clubs, you know.
Ah, yeah, okay. Okay.
So instead of...
It wasn't part of curriculum. It was like after school, yeah.
After school, and there would be people of different ages, you know, high school age children and adults playing together. So there was a marching band. There were probably a couple of marching bands, but there was what was big in that region and still is. There were these like string instrument orchestras, folk music orchestras with different string instruments.
All right. Did you get involved with any of that?
None of that. None of that. Well, I picked up the guitar when I was 23.
Okay, so many years later. So you had no school experience with actually playing. Did you know people?
I knew people, yeah.
For example, was there any garage bands?
There were, yes.
And if they got gigs, it was probably at these youth centers, right?
Well, yeah, a lot of them. Also like little bars, you know.
Bars.
By the time I was in high school, there was this explosion of little privately owned bars, you know, and so they would bring live bands. But at the same time, techno or whatever, like electronic music.
Dancing,
Dance music, exactly. Dance music was more popular among people my age back then.
What about house parties? Were people playing gigs in the backyard or in living rooms?
Okay. Yeah, absolutely. But again, like the war started in Yugoslavia and in Croatia and in my town, smack in the middle of my high school experience. So
that's not what, like 1991.
Yeah. There were really a lot of clubs also venues that were linked to universities and colleges where just college students would organize, you know, gigs and stuff. Did you guys play before the war? Did you play?
Yeah, a couple times.
Yeah.
Zagreb only once, but Slovenia, Ljubljana a couple times before.
Okay, yeah. So you probably played in those types of venues.
There were
venues that were run by
the government.
The government, yeah.
But you know what? Western Europe had that too, especially West Germany. They had all kinds of youth centers. The only thing that was kind of like the U.S. was more like England, where you played pubs, bars.
Mm-hmm.
But Western Europe had a lot of these social centers too for the young people. Hey, we're going to play Stowaways by Rent Party here. What can you tell us about this too?
Stowaways, that's built around this. First of all, it was inspired a little bit by poetry of Xia Yu. She's a contemporary poet.
Yeah.
and also by a comic book character by Hugo Pratt called Quarter Maltese.
Okay, let's listen.
1, 2, 3, 4. It means well. And I've never been imprisoned or jailed, only enclosed within borders, and no one drew, no one marked, but still enforced. And I paid to cross them, a stowaway I crossed them. And I found if you play by the rules, breaking them compromises help. I'll be sick with you. Quarter Maltese could have been your dad. Sideburns and a burning cigarette. Brown, brown beneath your head.
Thank you. about the summer mist and the doing time. I like the way that she makes it kind of hard to see. She likes the way that couple flash on my night. Baby, does it mean that if you help me, it's supposed to do it, help me in my mind.
Thank you. studying the works of all masters. I watch the workings of their minds. Wonder whether I'm worthy. Facility with language. Charging of the word with energy. Are effects that can be achieved by various means.
Brushing. you the suicide in my books and take writing pressure. The composer's prayer. Composer's prayer. To live out loud this one time. When cutting an axe handle with an axe, surely the model is at hand.
When cutting an axe handle with an axe, surely the model is at hand.
Honor every brother's slave.
Ay, estar corazón, mover de mi vida.
For Pedro show? Yeah, we heard Stowaways from Rent Party live again. The Sticks after that, On the Sea. The Happies followed up with You're Getting Me Pissed. Das Kinsey 4 next with Optic Nervous System. A Moment's Thought. That's Dan McGuire right there out of Toledo doing his poetry. How It's Done. And Very Be Careful from right here in the SoCal. Yeah. Columbia Cats doing this Vallenetta type of bitchin' music I love. Ojitos. And live. Maybe Little Eyes, huh? Well, Vet, finally with Birth Nap. Back with Snez and her journey. So, 23 years old.
Yes.
Where are you living at that time?
In Belgrade.
So, and it's in the middle of the war. And now, how did you get the guitar? How did you find it?
Oh, well, so we had that guitar with us to backpedal a little bit. So,
yeah.
So Stanislav was actually, he knew how to play guitar. You know, he took some classes and.
That's why there's a guitar in the pad.
I think he started when he was maybe 10 or 11, something like that. Never really got super seriously into it, but he was always around and,
sure.
And he would play and we would sing. So definitely, with him, you know, I grew up with someone playing guitar all the time.
Yeah.
But for some reason, it never occurred to me to play it myself or learn how to play myself until I was 23. And I think a lot of it had to do with, well, living in Belgrade, even though, so 23, that would have been 97, and by that time the war had ended.
Yeah.
Everywhere except in Kosovo, and the sanctions were lifted, and until 95, there was the embargo on Serbia, so that included that bands couldn't play Belgrade.
Right.
From the West, you know, for the most part. There were a couple of exceptions, but then right around 95, but we would still go and see live music a lot, just local bands. There were a lot of garage kind of punk and not really all kinds of experimental stuff. There was an experimental music festival I used to go to a lot and write about. But
did you see Disciplina Kichma?
I actually saw them live for the first time in 2005, only okay. 2005.
Because I think at that time he was living in England.
That's right. He was living in England, and occasionally I think he would come back, and I know that one time, I do have this memory of a group of us walking to see the London version of Disciplina Kichma, and it was so crowded, and there were no tickets left, so I missed out on that.
I was so lucky. Last time I was in Belgrade, he came at, before soundcheck. I got to hang out with him for hours. Before the gig, after the gig, Koya's my hero. I dig that guy.
So you kind of hit it off as people?
Well, right? First, he came to a Stooges gig.
Yeah,
he played a basketball thing in Belgrade, an old outside arena, and he came and hung out with me for hours there. He's a beautiful guy, big heart. So, yeah, this was a rough time because Belgrade in the late 90s actually gets bombed.
That's right. Yeah.
In fact, you know what? There's still wreckage. When I was there 2 years ago, you could still see.
Still see some parts, for sure. Yeah, so I just...
Did Stanislav teach you some stuff on the guitar? Or did you learn on your own? I don't get it.
I learned mainly on my own. I mean, I don't know. Also, I was unemployed at the time. He did have a job, and so I would just sit at home and play, you know. A very cheap copy of Cat Stevens' songs, like tabs, you know,
shorthand for music notation.
But sheet music, but it also had chord diagrams. That's
okay,
what
okay.
And it sounded like I loved Cat Stevens so much, but it was just that I knew some of his songs very well because I'd grown up listening to them, so I figured... I see the diagrams, and I know what the song is supposed to sound like. So if I press the strings and strum at some point, when it starts to sound like that song, I know that I'm
you're on to something.
I'm on to something, and so that's how I taught myself some of the basics.
That's called the knowing is in the doing.
That's right. Yeah.
Stans, we're at the end of the second hour, 2016, August 25. This is your Watt Pedro Show. Hold tight for hour three. August 25, 2016. It's the third hour of the Watt for Pedro Show.
Run, run, run. And Sam Moore, she's garsing sweeter than my heart can hold. I love country so. I love country so. I came from a small town, but I've lived all around. Cities big and small. Here's what I found. The music that moves me is played throughout this land. I love country so. I love country so. Larry John Wilson had the deepest voice in the Sapelo. Joe Tex made a record in 68, he called it country soul. Black, brown, and white, this music is open to all. I love country so. I love country so. I love country so. Dan Penn versus Sled. Johnny Fritz and Novi Wright reminded us all. I love country so. I love country so. Mixed the rhythm and blues with Canuto country bubbling up in every groove. Doug Strom loved and played it all. I love country so. I love country so. Percy Mayfield was a mighty sharp guy. Up on high, but when he sang, it was country too. I love country so. I love country so. I love country so. Conway Twitty and Sam Moore. James Carson's sweeter than my heart can hold. I love country so. I love country so.
Watt from Pedro Show. Start off the third hour with Rent Party doing Miss Ohio covered. Miss Ohio, which is a cover.
That's right.
Right. Yeah. Sorry about that. And another tune recorded live. Dick Deluxe after that, I Love Country Soul. Squid Attack from Death Hymn number 9, which has got Paul from Pedro. Toys That Killed Pedro Band. They're on tour right now. War on Words. King Champion Sounds from their latest album. Varus Disirius. Yeah, hard to say. The first, maybe some king's name. And finally, Buddy Girl and Mechanic with Mechanic Nonsense. Back with Snez and her journey. How did you make it to the U.S.?
Grad school. So I, in 2002, I got into a creative writing program in North Carolina, at University of North Carolina, Wilmington. And that was a three-year program in creative writing, got my master's there, and then from there I went to grad school in Chicago. And
yeah, but how did you get
come
to North Carolina?
Well, I applied.
Was some kind of lottery?
No.
Because I heard about this from people out of Serbia, uh-huh, that they want to immigrate. Like,
yeah, yeah.
They'll take so many people, but you almost like play a lottery.
There is that, yeah, that exists, but I got a student visa when I was admitted to the MFA program.
Okay.
Yeah, and so I got a scholarship, like I didn't have to pay for my tuition.
Yeah, yeah. They got support.
And teaching to get by, and I could do that on a student visa. I think there's a lot of us who kind of come here, let's do this grad school thing, and then, let's just stay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, Stanislav kind of did the same thing, right? But I think Salt Lake City.
Yeah, he did the exact same thing, except he went to Baton Rouge first.
That's right, Louisiana.
And then Salt Lake City.
That's right. Two places that couldn't be any more different than where you guys grew up. Well, you too. North Carolina and then Chicago.
I know, yeah.
Great, great adventure. Look, this tune here, Me Tonight.
Mm-hmm.
What can you tell me about that?
So Heather wrote that song, and
Heather did,
and so she says it's one of those nights that lasted 2 years.
Okay, great. Let's listen.
Sitting here sleeping last year, my warms my hands, it fills me up, but it doesn't give me reason, 'cause I got that winter itch for your familiar flavor of trouble. another 2 years just to know you. Let's pretend, let's be grandiose, let's lie till we know it's through. 'Cause I'm not lonely, but I'm alone. If I loved you, I'd take you home. Give me time and I'll let you go.
Maybe you don't know what you're doing. Maybe you do know exactly what you're doing. Maybe you're not doing nothing at all. Maybe you don't even exist. Maybe you don't even exist.
in the kitchen, just talking about fishing. Sitting in the kitchen, been out all night drinking, talking about times when we were out fishing. Sitting around drinking, talking about going fishing. When the tide slips away, I'm just thinking about you. When the dawn fades away, just be thinking about you.
Has anyone here been to jail? Jail, not prison, jail. Good, good. It's good to see that 180 pounds of chewed bubblegum has an opinion. So, I've been to jail a few times as a younger man, and I feel like it was really a good experience. There's two things I learned from jail. Trouble is an arbitrary term, and it's never as bad as the uncertainty of wondering what will happen in your punishment. The second is, the funniest shit happens in rooms where no one can open the door. On one such municipal sleepover, one of the guys in the cell with me was a hulking black man, muscular, shirtless, shoeless. And when I say muscular, he wasn't like gym muscular. He was more like oddly PCP muscular. The cell we were in was like 63 degrees. They keep everyone cold, I think, because they're less likely to fight. He didn't seem to be cold, shirtless, shoeless. He was pacing and muttering. The things he was saying were violent, psychotic, wanting to hurt people. Half the sentences he wouldn't even finish, but he would get enough profanity and violence and name-calling and anger to be very intimidating. I wasn't sure if he was going to kill the people that he was walking next to when he paced, if he would just snap and lunge out at me, or if he would just rip his own eyes out. But one thing was apparent. With this guy, somebody at some point was going to get hurt. Now, as the night goes on, at this point it must be 3 in the morning. His pacing became more frantic, his gesticulations more erratic, his speech broken down to not even words. He was just grunting and mumbling. A detention officer walked by and caught his eye, and he lunged himself like a bullet at the window, bouncing off of it, nearly breaking it. Every eye in the cell was fixated on this man, wondering what his next move would be. Not one of us could anticipate the words that would come out of his mouth.
Hey, man! Where's the motherfucking flapjacks in this bitch?
And then he just started laughing. And we all started laughing. It was amazing. After all that fear and tension and worry, we were all just laughing together. And if you think you're going to get that kind of comedy at Denny's or the Laugh Factory, you are setting yourself to be sadly disappointed.
Watt from Pedro Show, the last music for this edition. Me tonight from Rent Party, then S-O-P-H-I-A from the pop group, Tollum with Machine and the Ghost. Wow. Some more Daskinci 4. So good I had to play him twice this show. That wasn't on purpose. Sofa's First, Futures, Sutures. Face Reality from Frantix. They are a great band, though. I love them. Ben from Susan turned me on them. Or was it Mike from Brighton? Yeah, my memory. Westport, Tugboat Country, Runner Band, King Alfred, Man of Leisure. Best band name. No, the best band name ever is Entertainment Lawyer. Oh, no, Entertainment Law. Yeah, couldn't believe that name. Cut with Shot Dead out of Bologna. And the Mellow Men, Criminals, Stanislav turned me on to these guys. That bass band is actually from Vise, Comesia, on Vise. Yeah, and then finally, Jail, live, Bob Schreiner, his stand-up thing. So you got to tell me about Rent Party, since we've played 6 Rent Party tunes. How did this band come together?
So Heather and I met in North Carolina. She was there doing her grad degree, and I was there doing mine, and we overlapped for 1 year.
Same school.
I did creative writing. She did English literature. Yeah. But we met in a African American poetry class, you know, and
yeah,
we were the teacher's pets, always talking in class, and just being super eager about it. It was a great class, and so we became friends while hanging out in that class, and every once in a while we would get together and play, but nothing really happened then. And she's a guitar player too. And then so a year later I moved to Chicago, and then about 7 years after that she moved to Chicago. And then when she told me she was moving here, I said there's an apartment available in my building, and so she moved in, and I said, let's start a band, and that's what happened.
Wow. Do you remember the first...
A lot of people think that we're sisters when they meet us.
Yeah, it's kind of similar look.
Yeah.
Also singing and playing. Yeah, you belong in a band together. Do you remember your first playing together?
Yes. So we play regularly at a cafe around the corner from where we live.
Yeah.
And the first time we practiced, I think we were trying to learn like four songs, and she said, oh, by the way, I booked us at the cafe.
So before you knew any songs, she already made the gig.
Yeah, great. So, like in about like 2 months, and she was like, no, on Saturday.
Saturday. So it's that week. It's later that week.
Later that week. And so we went there, and then we played those four songs that we knew how to play together, and then we played a couple of songs each solo, and you know, Donna, shout out to Donna from City News Cafe, she asked us to keep coming back, and that's what we've been doing. I always wanted to be in a band with two vocalists and two songwriters, you know. I've had experiences of playing where I'm the only vocalist and the only songwriter, and experience with a band where we worked collaboratively on songs. That was Good Apples, and that was great. But I wanted to experience this too, you know, where there's a variety that comes from two people bringing songs, or even though some of the songs we developed together or finished together. So that was great. When she moved in, we started practicing and writing a lot of songs. Just became this burst of productivity.
Yeah. Now you got plans to make an album?
So we'll record. Hopefully it's done, so we'll mix it. And
who are the other two people?
We have Matt on bass and Holly on drums.
Okay.
Yeah.
And any plans to tour?
Some tentative plans for local kind of shows around the Midwest, but nothing to announce yet.
You ain't coming to Pedro.
I would love to.
One day, one way.
Oh, my God.
That would be great. So I want to wish you guys all the success, and it's righteous, the path that life leads you to, huh?
Oh, God, it's crazy. It's craziness.
You could have never imagined, right?
Never.
Yeah. So, but moment by moment, give it your best. And I think that's the thing to do. And, I want to thank you so much for being on the show.
You're welcome.
To have you on for a while now, and it's righteous. So thanks for telling people about your journey through music.
You got it.
Okay.
I enjoyed it.
It's been the August 25, 2016 edition of the Watt for Pedro Show. Special guest, Dez Savage. Everybody, keep your powder dry.